Gracious God, help us to journey beyond the familiar and into the unknown. Give us faith to leave old ways and break fresh ground with you. Help us trust that our times, even now, are in your hands. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. So here we are at the second Sunday in Lent. We've heard Ash Wednesday's invitation to a Holy Lent asking us to repent and return to the Lord. And last week we heard about temptation as we listened to the story of Jesus who was tempted in the wilderness. And now this week we jump to a text unique to the Gospel of John and the first four readings from John, the first of four readings from John for the next few weeks. We'll hear about the woman at the well, the man born blind, and the raising of Lazarus. These are all important characters to hear about during the season of Lent. But today's text is one of my favorites, and it's about one of my favorite characters in the Gospel of John, Nicodemus. And ever since one of my seminary professors called him this about 20 years ago, I like to call him Nick at Night. Our Nicodemus is a Jewish leader, a Pharisee. And the Pharisees were the groups that painstakingly studied every aspect of the law that governed each area of their daily lives. And they believed that they could only serve God by following all of some 613 rules perfectly. Nothing short of that would do. But Nicodemus had heard much about Jesus. He had heard about Jesus's preaching God's way of love, and that God doesn't keep score of people who follow all the rules. Nicodemus senses a spiritual power about Jesus, and he wants to know more about how Jesus operates. But Nicodemus does not want to jeopardize his own position of power in his day job, so he comes to Jesus by night. He may be spiritually open, but he's also rational, a keeper of the law. And he doesn't want to go very far beyond his comfort zone. He has also heard about Jesus changing water into wine, which was a crazy thing to do, and about him cleansing the temple, which certainly upset everybody. So we can just imagine Nicodemus slowly making his way in the darkest part of night, furtively glancing over his shoulder, going from shadow to shadow so no one would see him. This wasn't just your normal after-hours encounter. We get the feeling that Nicodemus is taking a big risk to find out more about Jesus. And we get the feeling that Nicodemus just isn't ready to endorse any new candidate, especially this Jesus and his new kind of discipleship, and venture into any new territory in the light of day. So I find this story pretty funny and ironic as Jesus and Nicodemus begin their dialogue. First of all, Nicodemus is a very confident and respected leader in his own community, but he waits until the pitch black of night to visit Jesus, the light of the world. And keep in mind that throughout the Gospel of John, night represents a spiritual blindness, a separation from the presence of God, and John wants us to notice this. And then Nicodemus calls Jesus Rabbi, a teacher who has come from God, so he does acknowledge Jesus' authority. But then he has questions, funny ones, as Jesus tells him he must be born from above to enter God's kingdom. Nicodemus asks, well, how can anyone be born after having grown old? And can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? We might expect Jesus to say, of course not, silly Nicodemus. But instead, Jesus tells Nicodemus that we enter the kingdom of God by being born of water and the Spirit. And further, he tells Nicodemus that he shouldn't be surprised at needing to be born from above. In the Greek word here is pretty cool, anathen. It means both from above, again and anew, and even from top to bottom. You need to be born again from top to bottom. And because Jesus is telling Nicodemus and us that to experience the new life of God, it must be a complete change We are called to be all in with God, and in the light of day, even. When Jesus says, born of water and spirit, he's telling Nicodemus and us, that's just what it means to be born from above. It's a radical new birth and transformation. It's a way of life that's so full of love and grace and mercy and compassion and light that we could hardly imagine it. Jesus knows that we cannot go this all alone, so he tells Nicodemus that God sent his only son into the world to save it, not to condemn it. But our friend Nicodemus doesn't appear to really get any of this, and Jesus knows that. Nicodemus just can't let himself move beyond his own literal understanding of what Jesus tells him. Nicodemus's questions were not particularly crazy, but Jesus's answers, or non-answers, were new ideas to him. We might know about what the familiar born again means to us, the Spirit's role in baptism, or maybe evangelical Christian identity, or whatever, but Nicodemus doesn't know that. He wanted answers, but did not want to risk anything by taking them or Jesus to heart. So we can picture him turning away from Jesus after this, just shrugging his shoulders and going back home with his heart and faith unchanged. And we really don't know what he thought at this point. Perhaps Nicodemus could be called the patron saint of the curious or of the cautious. He seemed to let fear rather than hope rule his dark night to visit. Dark night visit to Jesus. He was certain of Jewish law by day, but he had his doubts by night. I wonder if we all have a bit of Nicodemus in us too. Times when we are certain by day but have our doubts, especially in the dark of night. Times when we want to remain with the familiar and the comfortable, and we just can't see our way forward beyond what we know. Times when an offer of new life, a chance to repent and examine our lives and return to the Lord, just simply frighten us, and we too glance furtively over our shoulders. We stay behind in the shadows of closed hearts and minds, of fear and anxiety, and don't move forward in the light of love, joy, and peace. I think most of us would agree that we are in such a time now, in the dark and fear of the coronavirus outbreak, and there seems to be no end in sight. But remember that Jesus offers us himself and the power of the Holy Spirit. He offers us radical rebirth where all of our tightly held beliefs and all of our anxiety can be healed and transformed. Jesus invites us to step out to be with him, even in the darkness, because it is there that we will find the light of the world. Jesus doesn't condemn Nicodemus's faith. He just invites him to let God go to work in his life, to open up his imagination and fully participate in the abundant life that is being offered, to step into the mystery of a resurrected life and to see what God has in store for him. Indeed, Jesus' invitation is for all of us too, because God is always ready to give us new birth by water and the Spirit. Lent can be a time of darkness, and Lord knows this Lent seems to have begun that way. But it's a perfect time to try to look at our own lives, to open up ourselves to the surprises of God, and open up our hearts to a world in need of healing and widespread love and grace. And we're invited to return again and again to God, the source of all of our being. Thursday, at our quiet day for clergy, Bishop Sam invited us to make even quarter turns back to God. Sometimes it can be as overwhelming as it might have been for Nicodemus, but the good news is that God alone knows who we are and who we will become and helps us do this to eventually return with our whole heart. And perhaps Nicodemus can be our example in this season of Lent. to help us understand who Jesus is and what he offers us, to come out in the dark, find him, and end up in the light of day with him. And even if we take small steps or quarter turns to do this, we know that Jesus meets us right where we are because we have a God who loves us and wants to be with us. And we don't have to have everything all figured out. We don't have to have 613 rules. We just have to follow Jesus. And this can give us hope. The late Gail O'Day, in her reflections on this story, wrote that the invitation of Jesus to Nicodemus and his night visit showed enslaved African Americans that it was possible to come to Jesus even when those in power forbade it. They were not allowed to worship unless their masters would allow it, so they worshiped at times in secret and at night. And even though Nicodemus's own first visit was exploratory, they understood what Jesus had to offer and were willing to risk their lives and safety to come to Jesus. Nicodemus shows up two more times in John's gospel after this. In the 7th chapter, he's back, but this time at a closed meeting with some of his religious colleagues who are trying to condemn Jesus. Nicodemus tries to stick up for Jesus by quietly asking, "Our law does not judge people without first giving them a hearing to find out what they're doing, does it?" But he isn't very forceful, and he backs down when his colleagues taunt him, because they really want to do away with Jesus. Then, in the 19th chapter, he shows up again, where we meet him at the foot of the cross with Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph, by the way, had been a secret disciple of Jesus because of his own fear. But now the two of them show up and ask Pilate, in the light of day, if they can take Jesus' body down from the cross. Nicodemus brings with him a ton of myrrh and aloe and linen so they could wrap him and anoint his body for a proper Jewish burial. And so they attended to the broken, crucified body of Jesus and laid him in a new tomb in the garden. Somewhere, somehow, something changed deep within Nicodemus as we see him on his journey from perplexed doubter to defender to disciple. So as Nicodemus finds his way to the foot of the cross, may we all travel with him in the company of Jesus, as we experience our own doubts and fears, as we are worried sick, as we find our questions blowing in the wind, as we hope for new life. May we see a new perspective as our Nick at night serves to remind us that all things are possible with God, that there's always more light to be seen even if we can't see it, that God is healing this world, past, present, and future, in shadow and in light and in fear and in faith, helping us to trust that we will be born again. We will be born again and again of the Spirit. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that all that believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen.